million dollars between 2016 and 2019.
Even though the indictment does not refer to President Joe Biden, it will undoubtedly be fodder for his political enemies, including those in Congress who have wanted to investigate Hunter Biden, the business of Burisma, the contact with China, and the failure to pay taxes.
Legal analyst Lori Levinson of Loyola Law. Tom Foti, CBS News, Washington.
We're learning more about this week's mass shooting that killed three faculty members at the University of Nevada, Las Vegas Business School. Sheriff Kevin McMahill with details on the shooter.
We know he applied numerous times for a job with several Nevada higher education institutions and was denied each time.
Newly released video shows the gunman in a shootout with police that led to his death. A fourth faculty member was critically wounded. A major benefactor is threatening to withdraw a whopping donation to UPenn, his alma mater, over comments by the college president during testimony on Capitol Hill. Financier Ross Stevens says he'll take back $100 million if Liz McGill doesn't resign. Pennsylvania Governor Josh Shapiro.
Frank, I thought her comments were absolutely shameful. It should not be hard to condemn genocide. Genocide against Jews, genocide against anyone else.
McGill walked back her remarks the next day. Hamas claims a confrontation with Israeli troops in the Gaza Strip today turned deadly. The BBC's Yolande Nell.
Hamas says its fighters found an Israeli Special Forces unit mounting a rescue attempt and attacked it, killing and wounding several soldiers. It names a hostage it says was also killed.
Police in Bakersfield, California say a 72-year-old driver's been arrested after allegedly backing his pickup truck into three people just before the start of a Christmas parade last night. This woman was in the crowd.
He just put it in reverse and just slammed on the gas and just took off. Well, he was going, I mean, fast. And for, I mean, he just slammed on the gas. There was no merging into it. He hit the gas full on.
Police say they're investigating the possibility the driver had been drinking. Tired all the time? New numbers show chronic fatigue syndrome is more common than you might think. A study co-author, the CDC's Dr. Elizabeth Unger, says they found 3.3 million U.S. adults suffer from it. In her words, it is not a rare illness. S&P futures up 3. This is CBS News.
Make the hiring process work for you. With Indeed's end-to-end hiring solution, you can attract, interview, and hire candidates all from one place. Start at Indeed.com/credits.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
I was proud to be a.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wegehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Both the Ice Age and North Country National Scenic Trails in Wisconsin are being designated parks under the National Park System. The Ice Age Trail is around 1,200 miles long, running from Polk County to Door County. The North Country National Scenic Trail is around 4,800 miles and crosses through 8 states. Senator Tammy Baldwin has been calling for the designation for nearly a decade, and Thursday's announcement drew bipartisan support. Republican banking mogul Eric Hovde will challenge U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin. That's what National Republican Senatorial Committee Chair Steve Daines tells the Journal Sentinel. Hovde himself declined a chance to comment Wednesday night. Hovde is widely considered the most viable of the Republicans in the race. I'm Nate Wegehout, Civic Media News.
Badgers volleyball on to the Elite Eight. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Wisconsin Badgers women's volleyball team headed to the Elite Eight in the NCAA National Tournament. Wisconsin held off Penn State 3-1 in front of over 7,000 fans in a sold-out packed UW Fieldhouse in Madison. The Badgers will face off with Oregon tomorrow night at 7 p.m. The Milwaukee Bucks came up short in Las Vegas, losing to the Pacers 128-119. Turnovers troubled the Bucks down the stretch. Giannis Antetokounmpo.
we have to be more organized. We have to be more. We have to know what we are trying to get down the stretch. And at the end of the day, like down the stretch, is about effort, man. It's about effort and attitude. Like you have to go out there and take it. I feel like the Indiana team. That's what they did. They crashed the board. They got offensive rebounds. You know, they got to their spots. Played great defense. You know, got deflections. Like at the end of the day, like nothing's going to be given to you in life.
That's the Bucks, Giannis, and Antetokounmpo. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Partly cloudy today with a high of 56. Southwesterly winds 10 to 15 miles an hour. Cloudy tonight, scattered rain showers likely, 41. 46 tomorrow, chance for scattered showers. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 41 degrees.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Keeping Southeast Wisconsin informed, engaged, and entertained. This is The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitloh.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It's Friday, December 8th. That is another beautiful day to have you here up north from wherever you're listening across the Civic Media Radio Network or on the Civic Media app. By podcast or live on social media. We've got video feeds all over the place. I've got a question for you to start this Friday. Would you rather be a mogul, a baron, a magnate, or a tycoon? Now, keep in mind all of those categories. The one below that would be what? Business executive. And below that would be your humble businessman, businesswoman, business person. Here's the real question behind all that. If the only person your party can find to run against Tammy Baldwin can accurately be described as a banking mogul, how are you really feeling about your ability to connect with everyday voters in 2024? We'll talk more about that coming up from our home base here at 93.5 The Tap in Chippewa Falls. Here's what's on tap this morning from up here on Lake Wissota. The Republicans in the Wisconsin State Senate are preparing to fire more of Governor Tony Evers' appointees, this time at the University of Wisconsin Hospital and Clinic, as public officials in the legislature play politics with an abortion issue that hasn't been a factor at the hospital in something like a decade. We'll talk to Courier Newsroom national correspondent Kia Vakil about this week's debate, quote unquote, between Republican presidential candidates not named Donald Trump. Then in our second hour, we will, of course, visit with Dan Schumacher. We'll talk a little sports heading into the weekend. But then we will remember that date, which will live in infamy. Yesterday marked 82 years since the attack on Pearl Harbor. It was 82 years ago today that President Franklin Delano Roosevelt spoke to Congress about the attack. We'll listen back to a snippet of that speech before we revisit our conversation with author John Kinville from right here in Chippewa Falls, who wrote a book about a young man whose path took him from Chi High to the battleship USS California on that fateful day in Hawaii. We'll get the weekend weatherology forecast, and we'll get any input from you if you'd like to offer it at 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. You can also use that number to text any comments or questions or birthday greetings or tell your neighbor to bring his dog inside and stop barking, whatever. Text us at that number and we will share some of those. Our email address is radio@upnorthnewswi.com. And if you're watching on the Up North News Facebook page or the Civic Media Facebook page, then do feel free to leave a comment there. We may see it and put it up on screen. Again, Up North News is a separate entity from Civic Media. You can find the work that our news team does at upnorthnewswi.com or Up North News on Up North News WI on social media. But it's always such an honor to be here across the Civic Media Radio Network on these weekday mornings. Let's check temperatures at 6 o'clock. Now that we're at just about 10 past six, they look like this around the Civic Media Radio Network. Here in Lake Wissota, it's 39 degrees right now. Hayward is at 40. Look at these temperatures. They're like, Park Falls is at 39, but otherwise everybody's, Wausau's at 35, and now everybody else is in the 40s. Green Bay 41, La Crosse 46, Wisconsin Rapids 43, Oshkosh 43, Madison 45, and it is 41 degrees right now in Waukesha, where we find Greg Bach standing by as well. Mr. Bach, did you put on the sunscreen before you came out here in these balmy 40-degree temperatures?
I took the dog out this morning before I got here, and my wife said, why don't you have a coat on? I'm like, because it's not cold out.
It is not. No.
It was 52 degrees when I left the studio yesterday.
Was it really?
Yeah.
50s. Whew. I don't know that we'll see that much more. So we should
You like it, but you're also like, oh, the earth is on fire though.
Yes. Yeah, it is. It's not as easy to enjoy it as it used. When you were younger and you didn't care or you didn't pay attention to, you know, like you said, the planet being on fire. You know, you could enjoy it more. Now it's like, ugh, this can't be good. But again, we'll take it. Here it is.
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing I can do about it, so I'll enjoy it.
We're going to pay a price at some point because it is winter. There will be some snowy white mayhem falling on our driveways before too much longer. So
we'll be missing these days in February.
Exactly. Do you have weekend plans either at the comedy club or otherwise?
I'm at the Tap, the Laughing Tap, laughingtap.com for all information, all tickets. If you live in the southeastern Wisconsin area, I'll be there tonight and tomorrow, three shows. And then I try to keep Saturdays and Sundays kind of light with the dog. Now we're not like, you know, the going out to brunch is not as much an option, but we do have to get my mother-in-law her Christmas tree. We went last night and all of the ones of her size were sold out. So we got to start doing it. We got to do a little search around the area. We're going to go to some other places, but we'll get her a tree. It's fine. But that's pretty much the only thing I have.
Looking over at the laughingtap.com website, it looks like there's a troubled young man named Derek Sheen showing up today. I always love these comedy photos because some of them, you know, kind of do the glamour shot. And like Derek, he's got his face in his hands.
Yeah.
It's just like, what did I say?
Derek is such a sweet. And the thing is, Derek is a sweetheart. He's so funny, but he's just also a really nice guy. And when he's in the room, like you can have headliners come through, and luckily we've always worked with really great headliners, but even sometimes like, they'll have their certain
idiosyncrasies.
Thank you. That's the exact word I was looking for. And so you want to make sure they're, but Derek walks through and is like, hey, everybody, how's it going? Like, do you need anything? I'll take whatever you give me. I'm fine. Good. He's just a really nice guy.
That's awesome. Well, good. Well, people can go to laughingtap.com and learn more about how to do that. So yeah, hope that's a lot of fun. You can also, while you're online, head over to upnorthnewswi.com, sign up for our newsletter. The daily newsletter is out right now, and Christina has a story in here, 7 local light displays that you won't want to miss this month. And I thought it was nice of her to put my hometown one there first, Christmas Village in Chippewa Falls. Basically, they've taken Irvine Park in the center of Chippewa Falls, and if you've never been there, it is lit up so wonderfully. So many volunteers come in and light up the park. It's a wonderful slow drive with the kids. But there are plenty of others listed in our newsletter as well. There's also an article I've got in there on the Brewers Stadium deal, keeping the team here through the year 2050 and what that's going to mean for the Wisconsin economy. Some other headlines all there. Again, head over to upnorthnewswi.com and you can get all of the latest on that. Let's check a couple of sports headlines before we unpack the news here. Because the other night against the New York Knicks, the Milwaukee Bucks scored 146, but they gave up 122. And the question that I asked at the time was, could they keep up that offensive pace if they're going to be giving up that many points on defense? Well, last night in the semifinals of the NBA in-season tournament, they didn't give up 122 points. They gave up 128, and they only scored 119 in losing to the Indiana Pacers yesterday in Las Vegas. So the Pacers will face the Los Angeles Lakers for the title on Saturday night. The Lakers routed New Orleans 133-89 in the other semifinal. So it's back to the regular season for the Milwaukee Bucks starting on Monday night when they host the Chicago Bulls. And then they'll host those same Indiana Pacers on Wednesday night. And you can catch many of our Bucks games on Lake Air in Amory, News from the Center in Richland Center, Oshkosh Air Support, WRJN in Racine, and 98Q Country in Park Falls. The Badger women's volleyball team in the NCAA tournament, they defeated Penn State 3-1 last night, and they move on to host a regional final on Saturday for a chance to go to the Final Four in Tampa that will start on Thursday of next week. The Badgers will have to get through Oregon, the number 2 seed in their region, and that Wisconsin versus Oregon showdown will be at the Fieldhouse in Madison tomorrow, Saturday night, 7 o'clock. ESPNU will be carrying that game on nationally. Let's go through some of the weekend schedule here in case you're making plans to watch one or more of these teams. The Badger men's basketball team is at Arizona to take on the current number one team in the nation. They'll play Arizona on Saturday. The Marquette men's basketball team will host Notre Dame on Saturday night. The Badger women's basketball team will host Iowa at the Kohl Center on Sunday afternoon. The Marquette women's basketball team will be at Illinois State on Sunday. Over to hockey, the Badger men's hockey team will host Penn State at the Kohl Center tonight and tomorrow. The Badger women's hockey team is in the Twin Cities today and tomorrow to play the Minnesota Gophers. In football, of course, we know the Badger football team, their bowl game will be New Year's Day at 11 a.m. They'll be playing in the ReliaQuest Bowl in Tampa at Raymond James Stadium, taking on LSU. And then finally, the Packers have Monday Night Football for this weekend. So you have another Sunday that is free before you have to stay up a little bit later on Monday to watch that game in New York against the Giants. And that will be the last, because there was a Sunday night game last week and a Monday night game coming up here. That'll be followed by at least two Sunday noon games, both on December 17th and on Christmas Eve, which is a Sunday this year. So those are the next couple of games ahead of time for the Packers as they get set for Monday Night Football. So again, apologies in advance if Tuesday morning show is just a little on the rough side. Greg was smart enough not to watch the Sunday night Packer game this week, and he was all bright-eyed and bushy-tailed on Monday morning.
Hi, Pat. How's it going? Welcome to Monday. Oh, God. It's Friday, everyone. It's Friday.
Nice. It was nice of you to carry me, on your back like that on Monday.
That's what I'm here for.
Just get set to do that again come Tuesday. So a reminder on this Friday, normally I mentioned Dan Schumacher. We've got Kia Vakil coming up in a few minutes here. And normally we would have Mark Jacob on at 7:30 on Fridays, but Mark is off this week. And so it's at 7:30 today in place of Mark Jacob that we will play back that interview with John Kinville, who will be talking all about the book that he wrote about Harry Kramer, a young man from Chippewa Falls, growing up here during the Great Depression, joined the Navy looking for opportunities, and he was lost at Pearl Harbor. But then John Kinville and others discovered through a family member a box of letters that really helped illustrate what life was like in those months ahead of that day of infamy. We'll come back and unpack the news in just a bit, wherever you're listening across Wisconsin on this Friday morning. When you're here, you're up north. We'll be back in just a bit.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK. Roll into this Friday night and strike a chord of fun, food, and music at Foxview Lanes in Waukesha. A Friday night live music party kicks off at 8 p.m. and goes until midnight every Friday night. And the best part of this party, there's no cover charge. While you're having fun, grab dinner and take advantage of $2 off all sandwiches on Friday night. This Friday night, party with the music of Depot Express, 2440 West Sunset Drive in Waukesha. Call 262-544-2010 or check out foxviewlanes.com.
There's excitement surrounding Carroll University basketball this year. Head coach Lindsey Schultz and the Pioneer women are fired up to deliver another winning season in the CCIW. You can catch all the action of every Carroll women's home game right here. Join Don Brown as he takes you from tip-off through all the game excitement on the Shaw, WAUK 540 AM, 101.1 FM, and the Civic Media app.
The Shaw, W-A-U-K, K-K-K.
We again are fierce believers that you should be listening to this show live on your favorite Civic Media radio station. But if you can't, it's worth it to tune in for the live video feed just because every so often we play James Brown, and you get to watch Greg Bach dancing in the Waukesha studio. Sometimes I think he forgets the camera's on him. No, that's not true. He's playing to the camera 100% of the time. You just turn this radio show into a TV show so much easier than anybody else I know.
I mean, what I lack in basic skill functions, intelligence, ability to relate to people... I make up for in pure hammery.
Hammery. I like that. I like that very much. Well, here's the question that I asked earlier.
Yeah.
Now it's time for your thoughts on this. If you could be only one,
yeah,
would you rather be a mogul, a baron, a magnate, or a tycoon? Because they've all been used to describe really, really, really rich people, like a shipping magnate or, you know, a railroad tycoon or a robber baron or a banking mogul
or the red baron.
No, these are just the rich business people. The reason I bring that up is that somebody described Eric Hovde, potential Senate candidate, as a banking mogul. I'm like, this is something that we can't be described in those terms, you know. I think you have to be able to, without any sense of guilt whatsoever, take a $10 bill and light it on fire to, light up your cigar. And then you can be described as a mogul.
That just goes to show that you're never going to be a mogul, because a mogul would burn a Woodrow Wilson $1,000 bill.
I was going to say a $100 bill would make you a tycoon.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's all a matter of which one would you burn to get there, I guess. But, you know, that's our question for everybody here is if your party, in this case, the Republican Party in Wisconsin, if somebody who can be accurately and is described in news stories as a banking mogul, is that necessarily the person you think is going to connect best with voters? And that seems to be where Wisconsin Republicans are going. Eric Hovde hasn't made it official yet. He's still, you know, trying to demur and defer and, you know, just not have to say the magic words that would trigger, you know, all kinds of election related requirements. But that's not stopping other people. The most notable this week appears to be a fellow named Steve Daines. He is the chair of the National Republican Senatorial Committee. And he told the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel on Wednesday that Eric Hovde is going to be the one to challenge Senator Tammy Baldwin in 2024. And the thing about this article in the Journal Sentinel by Lawrence Andrea is that, you know, the first reference to Eric Hovde says it right there in the copy. Wealthy Madison banking mogul Eric Hovde will enter the race in the near future with the backing of the National Republican Senatorial Committee, which is the Senate Republicans' top campaign arm. Daines is a Montana Republican. And he said in a brief interview outside the Senate subway system, Eric Hovde is going to get in that race. We're behind him. Now, Hovde declined a request for comment from the Journal Sentinel on Wednesday evening. A source close to Hovde, wink, said he is, quote, continuing to talk with supporters and is looking forward to spending time with family and friends over the holiday. Craig, you sound suspicious about when I say, Who could that source close to Hovde be?
Oh, no, it was more the wink.
Wink.
But I mean,
Look, again, as somebody who's been both a reporter and then a candidate and a legislator, so I've been on both sides of the, you know, is this on the record? Is this off the record? Yeah. You know, am I commenting as myself or am I somebody close to myself?
The person we got the quote from was Shmerik Povdy. So when you were in office, did you have a designated quote-unquote leaker, like someone you were like, all right, so-and-so, you tell them blah 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 blah, and then, you know, whenever you knew it came from them, it was coming from you?
No, we weren't that you know, sophisticated, shall we say.
You didn't have that kind of strategery?
Well, and part of it was, again, having been a reporter, it's like, look, if I want to say something, I'll say something. If I don't want to say something, you know, I'm not going to say it. Yeah. I had a great media person. I might have had one of the best in the building, Jeff Barant, who now works for the University of Wisconsin system. You know, he again is as good as it comes. But I wouldn't say that there was ever some strategy where, you know, he was a designated leaker. You know, I wasn't that high up in the in the ranks of leadership. If you want to ask me something, ask me something, you know, or ask Jeff and we'll tell you. If we don't want to tell you, we're not going to tell you.
Where'd you get this quote from? We got it from Pat Kreitlow himself.
Yes. The trick in all of these things is, you know, when you're on the record, when you're off the record. Yeah. And so here's the rule of thumb for folks who aren't familiar, and you might ever find yourself in a conversation with a reporter. You are always on the record, always, unless the reporter agrees to go off the record with you before you say something damning, like the Moms for Liberty, founder and her husband down there, the chair of the Florida Republican Party. They can't go saying, well, yeah, we have a third person in our relationship, but that's off the record. No,
you mean former chair member.
Yes, former. I don't know how that former came to be, but you've got to be mindful of these things when talking to people. And so, again, to cover my bases here, when the story here says a source close to Hovde said blah, 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 I don't know who that person is. Yeah. I'm just saying, on the record, it wasn't Eric Hovde. That's the only reason I went, wink. it's clearly so. If Eric Hovde did not want this person to say what they said, if they're that close to Hovde, they would have said something.
And at this point, it's just like so ridiculous too. It's like if the National Party is saying this is our guy, and you're going, well, I don't know.
Well, again, it's the thing about magic words. It's by him saying it, by the guy from the NRSC saying this, it means people can like start to prepare for the campaign. They can start to get like verbal commitments, like, hey, you're going to give $10,000 when he declares, right? The moment Eric Hovde or anybody says, I am a candidate for, now suddenly there's all these reporting requirements and disclosures and forms. And so I hate to say it, but it's kind of how you have to play the game. And I do not like turning politics into a game. I just mean that the rules process is, you have to think out loud for a while about running before you can actually run, you know?
Yeah.
Because it actually does take work to prepare a campaign.
Oh, you know? I know.
I've staff up and everything else.
Yeah. I was campaign manager and worked in campaigns. So I know it's like, I never worked for a high enough person in that where it had to be like all the trickery.
Yes.
The winking.
Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, that's where we're going to find Eric Hovde for some time. There is no one right time or right window to get in. And you certainly want to try to do it on your own terms whenever it is. But now the speculation will just be there. Now we wait to see about the others. Former Milwaukee County Sheriff David Clark has, you know, talked about getting into the race. A businessman from Franklin, Scott Mayer. Although I note in the story here, it says Scott Mayer, a businessman from Franklin. So he's not a mogul. He's not a tycoon. He's not a magnet. So maybe he would connect with the voters more so than the mogul.
I mean, I'm a business owner. I have, you know, that's easier to sell than
you could be a mogul. You would look good in a monocle, sir.
That would be a tycoon. To me, a mogul is more fashionable. A tycoon has like their Wednesday.
We'll think
cane.
About this more while Kia Vakil talks to us. And that's next. You're up north.
This is the Shaw, WAUK.
CBS News Brief. Hunter Biden's been indicted again. This time, he's charged with evading federal taxes on more than a million dollars. Loyola Law's Lori Levinson.
It's not just a bare-bones tax indictment. It's really a thorough vetting of Hunter Biden's lifestyle from 2017 through 2020.
Police in Las Vegas say a gunman who killed three faculty members at UNLV Wednesday was a former professor who'd been turned down for a job at the university. Las Vegas Sheriff Kevin McMahill.
We're still learning a lot about this suspect. And still trying to understand motive.
Financier Ross Stevens threatening to withdraw a $100 million gift to his alma mater, UPenn, if the school president doesn't resign over testimony interpreted as anti-Semitic. Governor Shapiro.
Yeah, I've said many times leaders have a responsibility to speak and act with moral clarity. And Liz McGill failed to meet that simple test.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wegehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Wisconsin will spend $6 million to provide free driver's education classes to 15,000 teenagers. The goal is to cut down on reckless driving. It's the first time Wisconsin has spent money on driver's education since 2004. Students who get free or reduced meals at school would qualify. It's one of dozens of bills Governor Evers signed into law Wednesday. Wisconsin is getting $2.5 million to study new Amtrak service in Madison, Green Bay, and Eau Claire that would connect with Milwaukee, Chicago, and the Twin Cities. Wisconsin is also getting federal grants to support studying expanded service between Milwaukee and Chicago on the existing Hiawatha line, as well as adding a third daily round trip between Chicago, Milwaukee, and the Twin Cities through Wisconsin. I'm Nate Wegehout, Civic Media News.
Lofi's Holiday Sweepstakes is back. The Bakers of Country Hearts would like to put a little more jingle in your holiday this season by giving you a chance to win one of two $500 prizes, or the grand prize of $1,000. Winners will each receive a check that can be used for travel, gifts, or just celebrating with family and friends. Whatever makes your holiday more jolly. For complete rules and to enter for your chance to win, visit facebook.com/loafiesbread.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Partly cloudy today with a high of 56. Southwesterly winds 10 to 15 miles an hour. Cloudy tonight. Scattered rain showers likely 41. 46 tomorrow. Chance for scattered showers. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 41 degrees.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK.
This is Mean Gene Okerlund, and I'm talking with Brett Uhlberg, owner of Robert Hack Diamonds. Brett, I hear you pay cash for gold.
Not only gold, but silver, diamonds in any form like jewelry, teeth, coins, flatware.
Why should I sell you my gold?
Why not? Our store is the only store that recommends you shop around before you sell. This way you know you're getting the most money. But if Robert Hack Diamonds can't beat a competitor's offer on your scrap gold, we'll give you $20 just for letting us try.
Hey, what if I'm shy?
You? Well, at Robert Hack Diamonds, we sit with you at a table. We go through your items and make you an offer. You're not pressured, and we offer more on jewelry that we can resell.
Can I trade my gold for a new piece of jewelry?
Of course you can, and not only that, we can custom make a piece of jewelry using your gold and gems.
Hey, there you have it, folks. Sell your gold to my friends at Robert Hack Diamonds. Visit them on 76th and Layton in Greenfield. Robert Hack Diamonds, where they want your business.
Your home of the Earl Ingram Show. Weekday mornings from 8 till 10 on The Shaw. 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK. Hey.
now we're back with Kia Vakil, national correspondent for Courier Newsroom. Kia, how are you?
I'm well, Pat. How about yourself?
Doing all right. You know, we're in that glide path toward the holidays, so we need all the news to stop happening. Unfortunately, well, actually, fortunately, because we got 2 hours to fill every day, things do keep happening. So we're going to go over a few of the events of the week here. And I think that even though it didn't get as much coverage as maybe I think it should have, the fact that former President Donald Trump was twice offered by Sean Hannity to provide some assurances that he wouldn't be a dictator, and Trump relished in his not quite an answer. Again, any time before Trump came along, that would have been a career ender. This is such a different world we live in now.
It really is. You know, he continues to just avoid, evade any and all responsibility, in the realm of electoral politics, at least, where, you know, he can go on Hannity and brag about how on day one he'll be a dictator. He can threaten to lock up his political opponents. You know, he can talk about appointing the truly some of the most extreme out there figures in right wing politics as cabinet officials or VPs. We've seen so much reporting on just how absolutely unhinged, for lack of a better term, a second term would be. And we're barreling towards a 50-50 shot of that right now. And it feels like a lot of us are, not a lot of us, but a lot of voters, you know, don't believe that that's happening. But that's what the choice we're going to be faced with in about 10 months.
Yeah. And I think that there's still a few too many people who either don't understand that the guardrails they assume will be there have already been torn down or aren't as sturdy as they would be. And of course, there's always this sense of, well, whatever it is he's planning bad, it can't happen to me. And how many times I've said to people, especially when they talk about cutting, say, waste from the budget, how many times I've said to people, you know, you're the waste they're talking about. Oh, no, not me. I'm like, yeah, they're not going to cut a billionaire's taxes. You know, they're not going to raise a billionaire's taxes to cut yours. It's going to go the other way around. And it's sometimes amazing to me that people still think it'll never happen to me till it does.
Till it does. I mean, it's just his base is strong and they're with him. And then there's, you know, a lot of people who I think some of this will change over the next year as people remember what it's like when Trump is the main story every single day. And, you know, as we get closer to the possibility of him winning, I do think things may shift a little bit because, you know, he's talking about, you know, deporting millions of undocumented immigrants. He's talking about attacking trans people and LGBTQ people. He's talking about, you know, reinstituting some form of a Muslim ban. You know, he's already making clear who he'll go after, but he won't stop there. Like you said, you know, he'll probably go after Social Security. He'll try to repeal the Affordable Care Act, which gives 40 million people health care, including a lot of rural white voters who like Donald Trump. So it would just be calamitous.
It would. And we were talking the other day with Tony Gonzalez about getting professional licenses to DACA recipients in Wisconsin. And he made mention that, you know, we always talk about the number, it's never really quite clear, but you talk about there being maybe 11 million or so undocumented immigrants in the country. And he says, you know, all the figures I see show that, you know, at best, every year, you could maybe deport, something like 100,000 or something like that, or a little bit more than that. You're not sending 11 million people home right away. And by the way, whatever it costs to do that is, again, a cost that's not going towards schools or broadband or roads or anything else. And I just feel like there's too many people that still believe in magic wands in politics. And, you know, this segments like this are just the dash of cold water some folks need now and then, that the magic wands ain't there. It takes real work, and things like this cost real money. But there are only the people who realistically get that in the Republican Party Well, a couple of them anyway, were on the debate stage the other night. And by the way, my own personal observation, when Trump saying, you know, making joking about being a dictator, you want a sign of somebody who thinks you could be a dictator is somebody who has skipped four debates now of his own fellow Republicans. Because again, he doesn't really consider himself a Republican. He's in it for himself. But the other people who think they might have a chance at being the Republican nominee, should something happen to Donald J. Trump, well, they were on stage in Alabama. And what were your takeaways from watching that? I assume you forced yourself to watch it.
I did, although I did take breaks because of how, you know, you can only spend so much time in the right wing fever swamp without feel like coming up for air in the real world.
Yes,
I did watch it. My takeaways are the same as the last three. Why are second, third, fourth and fifth place attacking each other instead of first place? We know the answer. It's because Trump has a cult like hold on his base of supporters. And I'm not trying to denigrate them, but they're not abandoning him regardless of anything. You know, he said it right when he said he could shoot someone in Fifth Avenue and he wouldn't lose a vote. That's sadly true. So last night, much like this entire primary campaign, has been a total waste of time, frankly, because none of those folks are going to win, barring, you know, Trump miraculously dropping out or something else happening that takes him off the ticket, which we should not expect. So, you know, you did see some interesting things of Chris Christie being once again the only person willing to actually take the fight to Trump. We saw, you know, Vivek Ramaswamy spout a whole bunch of nonsense conspiracy theories, including about how January 6th was an inside job. Newsflash, it was not. Mm-hmm. And all sorts of stuff. We saw, you know, Ron DeSantis and Nikki Haley and again, Mr. Ramaswamy attack transgender youth in really, really ugly ways. It was just one piece of propaganda and lie after another. And if you were like a suburban voter just tuning in, or a college student just tuning in, or even frankly, you know, a middle of the road retiree just tuning in, there was almost nothing said in that debate that affects your life.
No, unless you're somebody who watches way too much cable news and you want to hear a certain group of people attacked because, you know, you feel like you're a victim of some sort. But in terms of, you're right, the meat and potato things that deal with your life that you would like your leaders to work on. But our leaders are not working on that in certain circles. That to me would include the new Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson, who himself said something that I consider rather jaw-dropping this week in making the comment that, you know, releasing any other security video from January 6th in the future, his comment was about having to blur faces so that the Department of Justice doesn't go after them. I mean, I don't think I'm that far off accusing the Speaker of the House of providing aid and comfort to enemies of the United States when you talk about people who tried to overthrow Congress.
No, I don't think you're far off in that. And I think this is connected to what we just talked about. You know, from Donald Trump on down, most of the Republican Party has, you know, come up with this absurd, untrue narrative around January 6th that it was either an inside job or that they were just tourists or that, you know, it wasn't that bad. We watched it with our own eyes. I remember where I was that day watching it. It was that bad. Mm-hmm. And so Mike Johnson's just, frankly, another coward who's too afraid of his own voters and his own political survival to actually address the truth, which is that a mob of violent people attacked the Capitol and some of them are now being held responsible. So you can say either, you know, this wasn't that bad, or you can try to hide their faces. You can't do both. Those contradict each other. Because if you're hiding their faces, you know they did something wrong. And, you know, Mike Johnson is a far-right extremist. He just is a little bit more buttoned up than Donald Trump. And so, you know, we should take everything he says with a grain of salt. And he should face scrutiny because he is effectively protecting people who tried to overthrow the democracy.
Well, and he's doing so because, again, he is a true believer, not in the Donald Trump sense of, you know, that Trump is like the ultimate authority figure. From a guy like Mike Johnson, it comes from what I consider to be a much more theocratic standpoint. Again, the new Speaker of the House making remarks where he compares himself to a biblical figure that God spoke to about running the country. And I am in no way denigrating somebody's faith, but the tone and tenor of his remarks should concern every American.
Yeah, he is, you know, I also don't want to denigrate anybody's faith. I believe in freedom of religion. I think everyone should be able to believe what they believe on that front. I also think you cannot discriminate against people who behave different, believe differently than you. And he is as evangelical and far right in, you know, the Christian nationalist movement as any House Speaker in modern history. And that should concern you. If you're, and again, if you're a Christian, would you want someone who is, you know, extremely, extremely religious of another faith to dictate how you live your life? I don't think you would. So we are a country where church and state are supposed to be separated, and that should always be how it is.
It should be, rather than somebody who's trying to, you know, make the state into one type of church. And that is just wrong and should be opposed even by people who might share a you know, that religious belief, but not that belief about what should happen with our country. Let's get to people who are acting with, you know, the angels of our better nature. Here's President Biden, apparently canceling another $5 billion in student loan debt. I haven't been following this one as closely, so I see this as a new headline this week. What, how is he able to do that compared to what he wanted to do that he was being pushed back on? How are people benefiting from Biden actions recently?
Yeah, so this is, so over the last, you know, couple of years, separate from the mass cancellation program that Biden proposed that was blocked by the Supreme Court, the Education Department in his administration has reformed the public student loan forgiveness plan, which effectively was created, you know, several years ago, pre-Biden, pre-Trump. And that program is supposed to forgive remaining student debt for people who've served, you know, in a public-facing role, such as police officer, firefighter, teacher in the public sector or a nonprofit for a decade. You know, if you do that for a decade, you get the remainder of your, and you've made payments, you get the remainder of your debt forgiven. That program was horribly implemented and did not actually provide nearly the number of people who are eligible for it with forgiveness. So they made tweaks to it. And so some of the people getting forgiveness are through those tweaks, which they have the authority to make. So that's one route. The other route is they reformed the income-driven repayment plans. And figured out that basically some people who had been making payments under these plans, which are based on a proportion of your income, you know, usually after 20 years, if you make your payments consistently, you get the remainder of your debt relieved. But there were people who never got credit for their payments. So that's the other batch of people. So the new announcement this week affects, you know, about 80 some thousand Americans. And that's life changing. That's a lot of people who are going to, you know, be able to spend a couple hundred dollars, anywhere from that to a couple thousand dollars every month on things like food, groceries, rent, housing, you know, emergencies. It's a huge deal.
Yeah, it's a nice shot to local economies across the country. And finally, we're just going to pour one out and say RIP to the Young Guns. There they were on the cover of a book not that many years ago. Eric Cantor, Kevin McCarthy, and Wisconsin's own Paul Ryan. They were the future of the Republican Party. And Kevin McCarthy says he's now leaving Congress. So all three of the Young Guns are not remaking the future anymore. The future is now somebody much older than them in terms of Donald Trump and the Republican Party. And so we don't have any big analysis to put out on this other than to raise a glass to Kevin McCarthy, who said not that long ago, I never quit.
Mm-hmm.
Until he did.
Yeah, no, he, you know, they thought they were the future. In reality, what the Tea Party era, you know, that signaled Trump. It foreshadowed Trump. And the future is, unfortunately, people like Matt Gaetz and Marjorie Taylor Greene.
Thanks. Well, on that note, now that we've got lumps of coal in everybody's stockings, we'll let you go. Kiev Akil, you can catch the stuff at Courier Newsroom. Thank you so much. Talk to you later.
Thank you, Pat. Bye.
On the way, we're going to have today's history lesson and musical memories, because we forgot to tell you why we were playing James Brown's Living in America earlier this hour. We'll have the answer to that and much more live from Lake Wissota across the Civic Media Radio Network. You're up north.
The Shaw, WAUK. Roll into this Friday night and strike a chord of fun, food, and music at Foxview Lanes in Waukesha. The Friday Night Live Music Party kicks off at 8 p.m. and goes until midnight every Friday night. And the best part of this party? There's no cover charge. While you're having fun, grab dinner and take advantage of $2 off all sandwiches on Friday night. This Friday night, party with the music of Depot Express, 2440 West Sunset Drive in Waukesha. Call 262-544-2010 or check out foxviewlanes.com.
If I could be you,
and you could be me,
for just 1 hour,
if you could find a way
to get inside
each other's mind,
walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out, and for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
This is the Shaw, WAUK.
Happy Christmas, Kelco. Happy Christmas, Julie.
So this is Christmas. And what have you done? Another year over.
It's never easy on December 8th to recount the anniversary of John Lennon's murder in New York City. Today is December 8th, 1980, and anybody of a certain age and above, of course, remembers where they were when they heard the news. A lot of people heard it incongruously from Howard Cosell on ABC's Monday Night Football, frankly, before a lot of his family or close friends knew about it, because it was a murder that took place on a busy street in New York City. For me, it was being a 16-year-old, and I would, even after bedtime, I would listen to the radio. I was a radio nut going way, way back, and recall the DJ sounding incredulous, you know, that you know, you were reading this off, and I have to admit, I wasn't the biggest Beatles fan at age 16 in 1980, but I certainly understood the ramifications of, you know, yet another gun murder, another gun shooting in America. And sadly, they've only continued ever since then. John Lennon being murdered on this day in 1980. Let's see. Let's get to some of today's other birthdays for today's history lesson and music break. We'll hear from Sammy Davis Jr. a little later on. He was born 98 years ago today in 1925. Nicki Minaj turns 41 today. It's weird to think that Jim Morrison would be 80 years old today. He was born on this day in 1943.
You know that it would be untrue. You know that I would be a liar.
Greg Allman from the Allman Brothers would be 76 today. He passed away in 2017. And then this is the one, Greg, that kind of, I mean, all of these kind of hit you, like, you know, you can't imagine Jim Morrison as being 80, Greg Allman 76. Mm-hmm. Dan Hartman would be 73 today.
Wow.
Dan Hartman, who gave us I Can Dream About You. Mm-hmm. But he also was a songwriter. It was Dan Hartman who wrote Living in America for James Brown that we heard earlier. I didn't know that till yesterday. And then we've got, he wrote Free Ride for Edgar Winter Group.
Oh, I love that song so much.
I know. So quite a talent there. Happy birthday to Bertie Higgins. He turns 79 today. If you don't know the name, you know the song. Again, at a certain age.
And you were my leading lady.
Oh.
We had it all.
I feel the beach breeze already.
If you can see the look on his face on the record, it's so intense to say, I love you so much.
Bertie is 79 today. On this day in 1972, Carly Simon's No Secrets album was certified gold, with singles there that included You're So Vain and The Right Thing to Do. All right, let's really take it to the slow dance part with Styx having their first and only number one single on this day in 1979.
So please believe me, my heart is in your hand. Love.
for a love power ballad.
Cause you know it's you, you babe. Whenever I get weary and I've had enough.
This is the anniversary of the dissolution of the Soviet Union. It officially was dissolved this day in 1991. Vladimir Putin said, I don't think so. And now he's got good friends like Mike Johnson and Ron Johnson and others helping him assemble it back together.
And for the Soviet Union, you get Babe.
Yeah, you get Babe. Congratulations. The number one song this day in 1984 was the sixth and final number one hit for Hall & Oates. Hall & Oates, or the party of the first part and the party of the second part, according to the restraining orders that they have out now in their little business dispute.
What is that?
I know. Come on, guys. You're partners for 50 years. Figure this out. Figure out how to split. Again, it doesn't always bug you. Here's how do you have trouble splitting up a great big pile of money?
Yeah.
And, you know, it doesn't matter if I'm talking about the Wisconsin legislature, the auto companies, or Hall & Oates. You got a lot of money. You should be able to figure this out.
And at this point, we all know it's going to happen. The losses are going to happen. Whatever. They'll drop the lawsuits. They're going on tour together again.
Oh, yeah. There will be a tour before too much longer. Yeah. Yes. On this day in 2013, Metallica performed a concert on Antarctica.
Yeah, they did.
In a dome there.
Yep.
Making them the first band to perform on all seven continents.
Yep.
I don't know. Yesterday you were casting doubt on like the moon landing. So do we know they were really in Antarctica?
I've seen the video.
Well, I saw the video of the moon landing too. I mean, you know.
You know what, Pat? I don't take kindly to you doubting Metallica and what they do, because band. That's my band.
That's where we're drawing the line.
Yeah.
Okay. We've got a note here from Roger on Facebook about how it seemed surreal that it was Howard Cosell to break the news to the country, as he as Howard Cosell described it, an unspeakable tragedy. But a lot of people weren't up late to watch the game.
Yeah.
And he mentions that he found out the next morning just after 6 a.m., as I'm sure a lot of people did.
You know, it's interesting. John Lennon went on Monday Night Football with Howard Cosell. There's tape of that. And they found each other very enjoyable. It was a very interesting marriage of personalities.
Yes. And it's something that with John Lennon, again, you know, the Beatles were so much bigger than anything for a time. And then it was only, in my mind, only after the breakup that as individuals, they started to find some of their groove personally and professionally. And John Lennon was such a respected musician in his own right and was able to do, you know, these kinds of things. And who knows how much more he could have done, you know, if he had been given the chance.
And you know, we would have gotten more Beatles music if the four of them would have in the 80s George died, because it's.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Again, the what might have been on this December 8th. This is the Feast of the Immaculate Conception. This is National Salesperson Day. This is National Brownie Day. Perhaps coincidentally, this is National Lard Day. I don't know. Does anybody bake with lard anymore?
Only people who can't let it go.
my Grammy always had a the.
I'm sorry. Did you just refer to her as your Grammy?
Yeah. No. Oh. No. Oh. No. My grandma.
Okay.
Grandma Pingle. This is also
Grandma
National.
Pingle.
Yes. This is National Pretend to Be a Time Traveler Day. And I'm going to go back just like an hour in time and pretend that I wrote this segment much more clearly than I'm otherwise stammering through it all.
You can go work for CBS. Boom. Oh.
Oh, now we're picking on national news anchors. All right. We will talk about the latest controversy involving the University of Wisconsin Hospital and Clinic Board and Republicans in the Wisconsin State Senate coming up in just a bit. Live from Lake Wasota across the Civic Media Radio Network, you're up north.
Waukesha, home of Les Paul, our awesome farmers market, and The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK. This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Think you'd like working with us at Civic Media? We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. If you have the right skills to join our team, let's talk. Civic Media is a proud equal opportunity employer committed to diversity and inclusion, along with the growth and development of all current and future employees. If you're interested or are part of an organization who wants to know more, go to our website, civicmedia.us, and click on the Careers tab.
Listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.